Welcome to the On Purpose Show with Susan Reeve and Rick Hansen. For compelling conversations, opening doors to discover and live a life work that's alive with passion and purpose. And now, here are Susan and Rick.
This is Rick, and a warm welcome to today's episode of the On Purpose Show. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Rick. Great to be here with you this week, and I'm really excited about today's show. I have my pen out to take notes. Today we focus on all you need is less. And, you know, do you ever think about living a more eco-friendly and simple life, but find that some of your daily habits, particularly the ones that you do on automatic, get in the way? And what if there was a simple way that you could take immediate action to have greater simplicity in your life, free up your energy so you can really focus on your purpose? Would you take those actions? And today's guest is going to tell us how to do that.
You know, one thing I'm looking forward to about our show today, Susan, is that a couple weeks ago we had a guest, Ellen Klein, who talked about the value of lightening up. And our guest today actually brings that way of living in, along with these very practical ways to have a more simple and a more eco-friendly life. So it's a cool combination. I'll let you say
yeah.
That.
Great. Well, Madeline Somerville is our guest today, and she is the author of a fabulous book called All You Need Is Less, The Eco-Friendly Guide to Guilt-Free Green Living and Stress-Free Simplicity. And Madeline adores writing in all its incarnations. She has a popular blog at Sweet Madeline. And she became an unrepentant tree-hugging hippie after moving to British Columbia 8 years ago. And she is filled with a wealth of information and amazing writing skills that make the process of learning how to live a guilt-free green life both enjoyable and very doable. Welcome, Madeline.
Hi, guys. Glad to be here.
We're thrilled to have you and would love to start with your personal turning points that have moved you in this direction to the purposeful life you're living today.
Well, I think it was for me, I started having this desire to go to a more green life when we got our dog several years ago, and we brought him home and he sat down on our floor and was licking the floor, and we thought it was so cute. And then I realized that I had been cleaning my floors with this cleaner that had, you know, toxic warning labels all over it. And that was the first time that kind of twigged in my head that I was using products in my home and on my body, and I had no idea what the ingredients were. And I didn't know what was going into it. I didn't know what effects it was having on my body. And it just sort of propelled me to investigate that a little bit more. And as I looked more and more into it, I started switching a lot of my products, you know, cleaning sprays and face creams and that kind of thing, to more eco-friendly products. And that got sort of overwhelming and sort of expensive. I would spend hours in the cleaning aisle trying to figure out which cleaner was actually eco-friendly and which one was just advertising that it was. And that's when I started making my own stuff. And that was my real moment of, you know, feeling like I'd found something. I made laundry detergent and I felt like a magician. It was the coolest moment. And it was such an inspiring, empowering feeling to be able to make something and to know exactly what went in it and to be able to customize it exactly how I wanted. And to realize that I could do that, and that just started the ball rolling. And I think that was, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago. And now it's gone to the point where I make most of the items that are in my home, from cleaners to laundry detergents to lotions and shampoos, and haven't looked back.
And how did things grow in terms of, so you've been applying that for yourself, but then somewhere along the way you started sharing this with the people around you in different ways. So talk about how that kind of evolved or took off.
Well, it was hard not to in the beginning because I was so excited by it. Like, I just thought it was so cool that I could actually make these things, and they worked. And so I just wouldn't shut up about it. I was telling everybody I knew, and they were kind of like, okay, Madeline, we know. And at the time I lived in this small town in British Columbia, and I did craft fairs every so often where I sold crocheted stuff here and there. And I started putting my recipes together in a little booklet that I would sell alongside my stuff that way. And gradually my friends started asking for recipes and my family started doing the recipes. And as I found that it wasn't just working for me, it was working for them too, it kind of just propelled into this momentum where I just kept sharing it with everybody I knew because I wanted them to get on board. I wanted them to have the same excitement that I had. And eventually it turned into me sort of sharing those recipes on my blog that I write. And I wrote a little list one day talking about really simple things that you could do to be more eco-friendly that didn't mean you had to give up your car or your fridge or, grow your own food only for a year, that kind of thing. Just really simple, easy things that you could incorporate into your daily life with zero inconvenience, but that would still have a measurable impact on the environment. So things, just really silly things like getting a cone instead of a cup when you get ice cream so you don't have anything to throw away, or using a jar instead of a coffee mug when you go to get coffee. And my publisher happened on this list and loved it, and I was given the hugest platform. I got to write a whole book about this, which was fantastic, because I got to channel all this energy into a book rather than just talking the ears off of all my friends and family. So I was really excited that I could share it with a bigger audience, and the reception has been just as positive. So it's been so exciting to see.
And it's a beautiful book. I have so many questions that are coming into my mind. I want to start with one is, the title of the book is All You Need Is Less. What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, the title, I mean, it took ages. My poor publisher, we went back and forth for, it seems like, months to figure out a title. But I wanted something that would convey the simplicity of the environmental movement. Because for me, I know that the journey that I took to get to it, I reached a point where it felt like living a green life was something that could only be done by people who had lots of time or lots of money or both. And that was really frustrating for me because I felt like I couldn't afford the super expensive green cleaners and natural detergents and natural soaps. They seemed like they were two or three times the price of the normal stuff. And that was really frustrating because it felt like, you know, it's not just something that the wealthy can do to be eco-friendly. And then as I started getting more and more into it, I realized that that was a reflection of our consumer culture, and that as eco-friendly living has become more trendy, corporations have jumped on board and they need to sell it. So they need to market it in a way that you can buy it. But the easiest thing that you can do to be eco-friendly is to not buy things at all or to buy less. So the title, All You Need Is Less, was catchy enough. It kind of has that Beatles thing to it where it kind of gets stuck in your head, but it really is. You know, to be eco-friendly, all you need is less. You don't need to be somebody who goes out and buys all the green stuff. You just need to reduce what you buy altogether. And even if that was the one thing that you did, if you cut your consumption in half or even by a quarter, that would have such a huge impact on the amount of waste that you're contributing and the amount of clutter in your home, too.
Can I read just one paragraph from your book?
Oh, please do.
Okay. I think it just speaks to some of the ways that we react sometimes, even if we want, you know, this more simplicity and eco-friendly. So this is in the foreword. It says, the whole eco-friendly thing seems to have devolved into a horrific cycle of guilt, shaming, and one-upping. And as a result, people have become annoyed and exhausted. We are living in a world where one of my grocery bags says, this reusable bag makes me better than you. And I'm kind of starting to believe it.
It's so true. It's become a status thing or a judgment thing. And this was the other part of it was that I found that as I was telling people that I made my own shampoos or that I was, you know, starting a worm compost, people would get really defensive. And I realized it's because this eco-friendly thing has become sort of a status thing. You know, I'm better than you because I recycle, and I'm better than you because I make my own lotions. And it didn't, I didn't intend it to come across that way, but I was getting that reaction. And that reusable bag that my mom bought for me just totally summed it up. And it was this sort of smug attitude of like, here I am, I'm so much better than you because I have this cloth bag. And it totally doesn't need to be that way. And it makes people so defensive when they feel like they're being judged by somebody who's doing more than they are, because there's always somebody who's doing more. I mean, there's somebody out there who's doing 10 times as much as I am and is probably looking at me thinking, you're not a green girl, what are you talking about? So I wanted to kind of just like poke fun at that and take, that's where the guilt-free part comes from, is take the judgment away, take the guilt away, take the, you know, the feeling like you're better than somebody else, take that part away from it. And just take really small, gradual steps towards a more eco-friendly life without feeling like you have to do it all at once. Just do one thing, one at a time, and don't focus on, you know, the 75 things that you're not doing that your neighbor is, who's got solar panels and a, you know, whatever. Just focus on what you're doing and let that, each small success, let that propel you forward and, you know, get excited about it and sort of taking that feeling like going green is this thing on our to-do list that we have to do, and turning that into an excitement and a feeling of empowerment and a feeling like this is something that you can do and you can make things, and it's something that I found very inspiring. And so, yeah, just changing the tone of things by kind of poking fun at the way things had evolved.
And I think that really speaks to your writing style. This is when I first picked up this, your book, I just sat down and read page after page after page because your writing style is so engaging. And so I'm curious. I'm guessing this was intentional rather than just a how-to book of a list of instructions to follow.
Very much so. I wanted it to read like a conversation I would have with a friend. And so, you know, if one of my best friends called me up and asked for my recipe for cleaner, I wouldn't say, mix together one cup of this and, you know, give her this very dry thing. I would sort of give her like a preamble, and I'd be like, look, when I started doing this, my husband hated it because this and this, you know, and I really wanted it to come across in a very casual, very engaging way that was entertaining. Like you said, I wanted people, even if they have zero intention of doing anything green in their entire lives, I wanted it still to be a funny, entertaining, engaging book. And my ulterior motive for that was that maybe some of those ideas would seep into their subconscious, and one day they'd be putting clothes in the dryer and they'd think of me rambling on about how lovely a clothesline is, and they'd go and hang clothes outside or something like that, just so that it didn't need to be this really intimidating book about, you know, recipes and quantities and research and all this kind of stuff, that it was just a lighthearted, very simple, very easy way to get into it and to feel like you could have fun doing it.
I love it. I know that you included a couple stories in your book about what you call eco-fails, you know, like the composting incident.
Yes, there's
been
a few.
So why did you include that? And I think we'd like to hear at least one of those.
I've had many, and this is an important part of it, because if I'm telling people to try things, like I just always say, just try it. Like, try it out. Everything that all the ingredients that I use are so inexpensive and they're so easy to find that it's very low risk. You know, if you try to wash your hair in baking soda and you don't like it, then who cares? You know, you put the baking soda back in the pantry and you go on with your life. And so I needed to tell people that I had tried things that didn't work too, and I've had many over the years, and the book has evolved to include the recipes that I use every day and that do work. But I've definitely had bumps in the road along the way and things that haven't worked out. And one of those was when I decided to start composting. And I'm a vegetarian, so I have tons of vegetable waste and fruit waste. And it was just going in the garbage. And we lived in a small town that had bears. So we had, you know, bears strolling through our backyard all the time. So not many people had backyard compost, because then you just have this big bear buffet and people didn't like that. So our local recycling depot had a compost. You could bring your compost there as well as your cardboard and cans and everything like that. So I decided, okay, this is time. This is our next step. You know, this is the next thing I was going to tackle. And so I decided that we were going to start composting. I made this executive decision on behalf of our whole family. And what I decided I would do so that I wouldn't get fruit flies and a bunch of yucky sort of business building up in between when I took it to the recycling depot is I decided, had the brilliant idea that I would keep the compost in our freezer until I took it to the recycling depot. And that way it would sort of be out of the way, it wouldn't smell, and it would just kind of be tidily tucked away in there. And then what ended up happening was because it was so out of the way, I maybe wasn't the most prompt about taking it on time every single week. And so there was sometimes a buildup of 3 or 4 or 7 bags of compost in our freezer. And my husband would go in there looking for ice or whatever he was looking for, and all he would find was bags of garbage, essentially. And this enraged him to the point where we were in this cycle where I would really, you know, feel so good about myself, and I'd be patting myself on the back, putting each bag of compost in the freezer, and my husband would eventually reach a tipping point of rage, and he would throw everything into the garbage, and then we'd have these arguments about why he hated the earth and why he was working against me and why he couldn't just help me in my environmentalism. And it was this kind of, like, lovely marital cycle that we were going through over and over again. And eventually we worked it out, and I had to take the compost more regularly so that he could actually use his freezer as a freezer for food instead of for garbage. But, I mean, I'm sure that this is happening to other people. Like, I really hope it's happening to other people, not just me. And I wanted to address that and just to say that it's normal that, you know, your husbands or your partners or your coworkers or your roommates might not always be on board 100%, and that's totally fine. And I give a few steps to deal with that. And so I just felt it was fair that I should share my own failings too.
Yeah, and what do you find to be the most challenging aspects of green living?
I think getting started is very intimidating for the reasons that we've talked about. It seems complicated and it seems kind of scary when you're first getting into it. I mean, you approach the idea of somebody making their own cleaners or making their own laundry detergent. It just seems so strange because it's stuff that we've always bought, and it seems like you need a license or something to make it. So I think getting started, honestly, is one of the hardest parts. And I talk about, you know, once you get started, you're set, and you can just keep going from there, and you realize that it's fairly simple. But taking that first step is also often quite challenging for people. Understandably, you know, it's a big lifestyle change, and, you know, we're sort of scared of new things sometimes. And also, I do think that sometimes the planning is, for me anyways, it's a challenge, especially since I had my daughter. I have less time. My memory seems to be non-existent. And some of the planning that it takes, you know, so when I go out, I like to have in my purse, I have a little bamboo utensil set. I have a jar that I can use. So in case I go to eat somewhere, I don't have to use plastic forks and knives, and I can have a jar instead of a like a paper coffee mug, and all that kind of stuff is stuff that I have to plan. I have to make sure that I have it in there and that it's clean, and just that kind of planning aspect I find challenging that, I mean, maybe others don't, but it does take an extra few seconds for sure.
And so I want to make sure that our listeners can learn more about you and your work. And so Madeline's website is allyouneedisless.ca, www.allyouneedisless.ca. And I know Rick has a question right now.
Well, something I enjoyed about the book is the subtitles. I think that makes me want to read. There's actually some sections I haven't read yet. It's like, you know, How Living Green Can Save Your Relationship, or Why Craigslist Should Be Your Baby's Middle Name. So I love you.
And I, just gentle suggestions.
It's like, oh, I have to read that chapter now. Related to that, something I enjoyed is just how you put this in the context of, you know, your family. You mentioned your, you know, some conversations with your husband as part of this. How about with the kids? What are some of the ways that this has, you know, come into your role as a parent?
It's affected, I would honestly say it's affected almost every aspect of my parenting with my daughter, Olive, and in different ways than I had probably thought. I wrote this book partly while I was pregnant with her and partly while she was, you know, 6 months and under. So there's some stuff that I talk about that I hadn't really put into practice yet, and I just sort of thought I would be doing, and I'm glad to see that I've actually followed through with it, because that would be awkward if I hadn't. But everything from preparing for her arrival. So my husband and I decided early on that we were going to buy clothes secondhand. We were going to furnish her nursery secondhand, that we weren't going to buy, a whole bunch of plastic toys. We asked our family if they were going to give gifts, to give things that were secondhand, just so that we knew that she wouldn't be starting out by creating all this waste just coming into the world. We chose to cloth diaper her rather than do disposable diapers. And then even on a more grand level, I'm so in love with my daughter, and I get so sentimental when I think about her, and it's really important to me that I pass on this idea to her that we're responsible for this earth, and we're responsible for what we take into our homes and the waste that we contribute. And it would feel really hypocritical of me to be telling her about this and then, caving into her every time she wants a little plastic toy in the checkout that, she's going to play with for 5 minutes and then it's going to languish in a landfill for hundreds of thousands of years. So these ideas of sustainability and being responsible for what we do in this world are things that are really important to me that I pass on to her. And they have kind of fun side effects too. Like I was saying, we don't really buy plastic toys for her, which has cut down the amount of toys that she's had significantly, because it's kind of eliminates 95% of what's out there. You go into a toy store, and if you say no plastic, I mean, your selections are really limited, which is a really good thing, because, she doesn't have a whole playroom full of toys that are just cluttering up the place. She has a few that are really well made that she really likes, and it kind of limits the amount that other people can give to her too. So they've started giving her experiences instead. So giving a museum pass or taking her out for the day instead of buying her a gift or contributing to her education fund, something like that, that just reinforces with her this idea of people instead of things or experiences instead of things, and just this idea that, environmentalism isn't something you buy, it's something that you do, and it's something that really benefits your whole life. And she helps me out so much. I mean, she likes to hang up laundry with me. She likes to do dishes with me. She likes to sweep. And if you can get them involved in that kind of thing and not worry about the fact that they're touching all the stuff that you're cleaning with, I mean, it's so much easier to include them.
That's so great to hear. One of the things, I have the book on my lap right now, and I'm just going through the various chapters, and you have a chapter for home, for body, for lifestyle, for food and drink, gardening, relationships, health and wellness, baby, pet. I mean, you really cover the gamut, and holidays. And I'm wondering if you can give us a few of your favorite suggestions, maybe three suggestions that you have that people can easily put into practice.
Yeah, around the holidays is a great place to kind of focus on this idea of reducing. And the concept is not to be miserable. I mean, you don't want to become this environmental martyr who's sitting there with no Christmas tree and no gift, if you celebrate Christmas, and making your family miserable because it's for the good of the earth. Like, nobody's going to enjoy that. Nobody's going to want to continue doing that. That's not the idea. But the idea is, like I was saying, refocusing the focus of the holiday to not be on the gifts, but to be on being together with family or helping others or something like that. So what we've done in our family is I have 5 brothers and sisters. Adam's got 2. Between the two of us, I mean, we are just overwhelmed with holiday gifts, which is a fantastic problem to have, but it makes the holidays kind of stressful. So what we've done in our families, and a really simple way to kind of cut down that amount of stress and expense too, is to just do a Secret Santa gift exchange. So on each side of our family, we put our names in a hat and you draw one name. So we buy a gift for one of my siblings, we buy a gift for one of his, and so instead of buying something like 12 gifts, we just have to buy 2, which helps so much. And you can also make sure that then those gifts are really good. So rather than, just sort of wandering aimlessly around a mall picking up a $20 something because you have to find a gift for Cousin Joe, you are spending, you only have 2 gifts to buy. So you're putting a lot more time into it. You're putting more thought into it. You can buy a better quality item that they'll actually probably enjoy a bit more. So that's one way to really cut down that you still have the excitement of opening gifts, but it's not this crazy, overwhelming situation. And then the second suggestion I would have was how you wrap the gifts. So wrapping is a huge source of waste around holidays. And again, you don't have to make your gifts ugly. Martha Stewart, God love her. You want it to look pretty and, you know, have this gorgeous thing under your tree. So I like to repurpose things like newspaper. You can wrap gifts in newspaper with colorful ribbons and gorgeous buttons. You could paint on it. You can get really creative. That's kind of my go-to because I love how it's just this neutral background that you can add anything to. Or get creative. If you're giving a child like a little kitchen set, you could wrap it in an apron and make that part of the gift. Or if you're giving, you know, if you're giving art supplies, you could wrap it in a smock, something like that. Or make it another gift. You could wrap it in a tea towel that's part of the gift as well, that kind of thing. So just cutting down on the wrapping, and you can kind of get really creative with it, and you end up with these beautiful gifts that don't have any waste associated with them. So you don't have those huge garbage bags full of wrapping paper that were only used for about a week. And then the third idea is to kind of create, and this is something we're still working on because all of us are so young, but creating a family tradition of giving out. So maybe volunteering at a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter around the Christmas season, or helping your child, because children get so many toys over the holidays. Before the holiday season approaches, taking your child and going through their toy box and getting them to pick 5 or 10 or 15 toys that they would like to pass on to somebody who might not be as fortunate and might not have as much. And this just sort of refocuses their idea from getting to giving. And it's a really powerful lesson for kids and for adults too. We get so wrapped up in our lives that it's really important to remember to give out.
I love those suggestions. And it makes me think when we have the blog posts that we're going to post at the after the show, and then I'm going to be resending that out again when the holidays are closer, because these are, you know, everything in your book is so practical. It's like, oh, I could do that, and that's not so hard. So we're going to count those as your one small step for the show, because those were exactly the kind of thing we're looking for. Which really leads us towards a final,
Which leads us to our final question, and that's a gem of wisdom to share with our listeners who have the desire to live a more eco-friendly life and to do it with greater simplicity.
I would say that the gem that I would like to leave is that not only can it be fun and simple like we were talking about, but that it's a process that we really need to be gentle with ourselves too. And this is something that I often speak to women, not to exclude you, Rick, but I find that women, we're so hard on ourselves, and we have this impossible standard to live up to where we have to be gorgeous and thin, and our homes have to be immaculate, and our children have to be only eating healthy snacks. And sometimes green living can just seem like it adds an extra dimension to that. So not only do we have to look good, but we have to be wearing all organic clothing. And not only does our homes have to be spotless, but they have to be cleaned only with vinegar to get them there. And it just sort of seems to pile on. And we're really, really hard on ourselves. And I know this because I am exactly the same way. And I tend to focus on not what I am doing, but what I still have yet to do. So we've just moved, and we don't yet have a compost here, and it's been 2 weeks. And every time I throw, you know, eggshells in the garbage, I feel so guilty. And we really just need to remind ourselves to be really gentle with ourselves, to focus on what we are doing, to take those small steps, be encouraged by how far we've come instead of looking at how far we have to go. And pick one area of your life. If you're just starting out, pick one area of your life that you get excited about thinking about transitioning into a more green life. So if you really like cooking, maybe you could start canning or start your own gardening. For me, it was cleaning. I really, for whatever reason, I enjoy cleaning. So for me, and if you pick that one area of your life that you feel that enthusiasm about, start there and then just keep going.
Madeline, it has been such a treat to have you with us today, and I know this information is going to be so valuable to our audience, and I'm eager to put even more of your suggestions into practice. So thank you so much for being with us here today. Bye.
Oh, it was so much fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. Whoa, this was great.
It goes
by
so fast.
And she really made it fun.
Yeah. And so I just want to reiterate Madeline's website, which is www.allyouneedisless.ca, and get a hold of her book, All You Need Is Less.
And we will see you here next week on the On Purpose Show. Look forward to seeing you here.
Bye-bye.
Join Susan and Rick next week right here on the On Purpose Show, and join the conversation at facebook.com/onpurposeshow.